April 5th, 2011.
Left off in Masechet Sota, Yud Aleph and Mad Aleph. Yukal Hashem Shalom, Bayokam Alechad Hashem Mitzrayim. Just last night I gave a shiur on Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara quoted the same pasuk, Yukal Hashem Shalom. That Shalom Mishmo Shalom Kadosh Baruch Hu. Happens to be also Daf Yud Aleph, no? Also Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph, same Daf. The Gemara is commenting on the psukim in the beginning of Chumash Shmos in chapter Aleph. Ayokam Alechad Hashem Mitzrayim. So the Gemara has a famous machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel. How do you understand the pasuk? The simple pshat is that they appointed a new king over Egypt. Ayokim elachadosh. The Gemara has Rabbi Shmuel had a dispute. Chad amachadosh mamish. One of them understands the pasuk kipshuta. They appointed a new king. But chad ama, the other one reinterprets it. It doesn't mean a new king. What it means is shenischad shegzeir oisav. He had a new attitude. It was the same old paro, and he had a new attitude. He decided to be right of the Eden. The one who interprets that there was a new king, that's what it says. The other Amor who says that it doesn't mean they had a new king, means the same king had a different attitude towards the Jews. He became anti-Semitic. Why? What kvetches him? What motivates him to reinterpret the pasuk? Not to learn kipshut, to look siva yomas vayimoch. He should say that the first para died, and then they appointed a new paro. Never said the first paro died. So that's what motivates him to interpret. No, the same paro, shenischachuk zeiroisov. Whatever it means, whether it means that it was the same person, a new person, the next phrase doesn't make any sense. V'yok marash asher lo yadas Yosef. How could it be lo yadas Yosef? What, you never heard of Kennedy? You never heard of President Carter? You never heard of the President of the United States, the last president before? He was just born yesterday. Can't be. What, they appointed a king who was only 5 years old and he didn't know the history that happened the last 5 years? How can it be? So the Gemara says, "Asher lo yadas Yosef." How do you read the pasuk? He didn't know that Yosef saved the whole economy, saved the whole Middle East. How can it be? So the Gemara, nah, it doesn't mean he didn't know Yosef. The Habidomi commander lo yada leklav. He may believe that he didn't care to be makatayva, but it doesn't mean that he didn't know the story about Yosef. Didn't know that Yosef was Jewish and that Yosef the Jew saved the whole Middle East. He knew, but he didn't care. He wasn't Makatova. The pasuk continues that this new paro made the gzeris against the Jews. We have to be right of the Eden. So the pasuk sounds, it doesn't say that the cabinet members suggested to him that we should enslave the Jews. It sounds like this was his original idea. But Yomer Alamo, it was his idea. Tana, the Brisa comments, who his chobetz atchila, he was the one who initiated this whole idea of anti-Semitism, of enslaving the Jews. Lefichach, therefore, loka atchila. When everybody was punished by the Esamakais, so the first one to suffer was Paro. Who his chobetz atchila, he was the one who, it was all his idea, to enslave the Jews, the Chsiva Yomer Alamo, doesn't say that the cabinet members suggested to him. This was Paro's original idea. Lefichach, the pasuk says later, Lo Katchila, when the Esamakas came, so he suffered first. See, that's in Shmos, chapter Aleph, by Yomer Alamo. Now it says by one of the Makas in chapter Zion, Kidichsiv, Uvcho, V'yamecho, V'cho, L'Avadecho, by the Tzvardei, I think. I already forgot which one. by the Tzvadeh Sefer. First it says, Ubecho, you will suffer. Then Abiyamecha means Mistama by your cabinet. Then after that, Bechol Avadecho, all of the Egyptians. The first one to suffer was Parakas. He was the one who started the whole Gzeir. Then the Gemara comments, right, back to the Psukim in Shmos chapter Aleph. It says, Hoven is Chak Malo. Let's get smart against him. So the Gemara says, should say, let's get smart against them. It's against the whole Jewish people. So you could say, lo to the nation. Am b'nei Yisrael, Ravi Yotzmena, Am is singular. So you could say, al pi pashtus, hoven is chak malo, to the Am. But the Gemara is bothered with the question, lohem e boyle, instead of hoven is chak malo, should say, hoven is chak malohem. Let's already take care of these Jews. Why does it say, hoven is chak malo, om rav choma b'rab chanina, bo'u nechakim l'mashion shal Yisrael. Somehow he knew that there was his Tagninim, the astrologers looked in the stars and they said that someone's going to, in the future it looks like there is going to be a Jewish baby who's going to save the Jewish people. So once he heard that, so he said, Haven es chak malo, let's make a gzeira against the Jews to get rid of that baby who's supposed to be the Moshiach. Bo'u nechakim l'mashion shal Yisrael. So how can they get rid of the Mashiach? What should they do? So Bemen and Dunem, how should we get rid of the Jewish babies who will be born to make sure that the Mashiach will not survive? The Dunem be'esh, should we burn all the babies born today? Should we burn them in fire? That's not a good idea because we know that the God of the Jewish people can use fire to punish his enemies. Ksiv, it says in Tanakh, they knew this concept. Hinei Hashem be'esh yavo. God of the Jewish people can come with fire. God punishes his enemies. The God of the Jewish people will punish his enemies with ash, and God will punish me to connect neither. So if we will burn all of the Jewish babies, so God can burn us, he'll punish us, me to connect neither. Should we kill them? Should we take a sword and kill all the Jewish babies that are born this week? Also not a smart idea, because God, they all knew that God punishes me to connect neither. The pasuk says that God will cause all of his enemies to be killed by the sword. So if we will kill all the Jewish babies born this week with the sword, so God will revenge, the God of the Jewish people will revenge their murder, and he'll kill us. The answer is, let's drown all the Jewish babies that will be born this week. Somehow they thought, the astrologers thought that the Mashiach and Shal Yisrael is going to be born very soon, this week, this day, this month or something. So let's drown them, because God is not going to punish me to connect. He had this bug in his head. God is only going to punish me to connect me. So if we'll drown the Jewish babies, God can kill us with a fire, God can kill us with a sword. No, he's only going to punish me to connect me. And a flood he's not going to bring, because he already promised from the days of Noach, I'm not going to make another flood. God promised he's not going to bring another flood. Where's that in Yeshaya? It's in Haftarah in Yeshaya. So how did that tsunami happen? So how can it be that? So the answer is, God promised not going to cause a flood to drown the whole world. But on one place, on one continent, on one nation, he will. And the Egyptians didn't realize, Shakol Holam Kulayne Mevi. God only promised not to drown all of mankind with a marble, like in the days of the Noach. Avlalu Machasu Mevi. On one nation, on one country, he can bring a marble. Inami, the Gemara presents Inami, as if maybe God really swore not even to drown one nation. We saw recently. There was a flood and so many people drowned. So the Gemara says, Inami, maybe the God promised, maybe God promised not even to make a flood against one nation. The Gemara is not sure. Who ain't a maybe? God will not bring a flood to cause the people to drown. But over here it's a different story. The Mitzrayim will run into the Yamsu. And Mitzrayim nosim likraso. It says that the Egyptians were running towards into the Yamsuf and they drowned themselves. Not that God caused the Yamsuf to go over there. Yeah, but we saw that that's what happened. The tsunami drowned the whole city, whole nation over there. So we assume like the first suggestion that the Gemara gave. The Rabban Shalom only took a shvuah, he's not going to drown the whole world. It's a strange Gemara here. Strange Gemara over here. And the Shavua that God took, he's not going to drown the whole world. That's only drowning. What if there'll be an atomic war and the whole world will be destroyed with radioactivity or something? So the Mefarsh Machomish assumed that the Haftocha was God will never wipe out the whole world, all of mankind again. It doesn't only mean Dafka with drowning. It was, the Gemara presents it as if this was the Cheshbon. Maybe the whole Cheshbon of Parah was all Kakai. Maybe they made a mistake. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they thought over there. Maybe they thought over there in Eretz Yisrael, that part. Also. The Mefarshim HaChomish assumed that God promised he'll never destroy all of mankind. Whatever. Not only a Mabel. Other things also. The Gemara presents it as if the Egyptians assumed that God only swore he's not going to bring another Mabel. But to punish with another way, he will. Yeah, it's a strange Gemara here. The Gemara is making the whole calculation that Parah made. And this whole calculation that we're saying that this is Parah's Cheshbon, why did he decide Nedunim B'mayim, why they should drown all the baby boys in the river. Why did they want to drown them in the river? Because they made a whole cheshbon about midah k'neged midah. That's Rav Blaza made a comment on the pasuk in Shmos ki badavar ashezodu aleihem. The same way they planned to cause the Jewish people to die, that's exactly what happened to them. They wanted to drown the Jewish babies. So what happened was that all the Egyptian soldiers drowned at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. So that means the midah k'neged midah. That was the whole cheshbon that they were calculating. Ki bad dovar shezodu aleim. So how do you translate the word bad dovar shezodu? Zodu means bemezid, that they were plotting against the Jewish people. So Rav Loza has an additional level of interpretation, that zodu means to cook. The same way they cooked up a scheme to kill the Jewish babies, that's the way they suffered. That's the way their goose was cooked. In the pot that they wanted to cook the Jewish people, they wanted to drown the Jewish baby boys, so that's where they were punished, with the water. What motivates them to interpret this additional level of interpretation? They planned. Amazing. They were plotting against the Jewish people. They were plotting to drown them in the rivers, and now they all drowned. So my mashmand haizod lishna digderuhu. Why do Rabbi Loza say has an additional level of interpretation of cooking? Dichsib ayozad yaikev nozid. He was cooking a pot of lentils. So bayozad means to cook. Kiyozid ish alriyeh. The Gemara has a comment. The Gemara has in Sanhedrin on Daf Samachtes. The Gemara says, Kiyozid ish alriyeh laharga b'yama mim is b'chiti k'chen olomos. So what does it mean if a person killed somebody else? B'mezid kiyozer al reish laharga b'yarma. Person plots against someone else to kill him, and we have witnesses, and we're ready to give Mrs. Bezin, and the murderer happens to be a kohen, and he runs into the Beis Hamikdash. He starts to do avodah. So it says it doesn't help, even if he's the only kohen, and if we're going to give him the death penalty, we won't be able to be makir of the karbanis. It doesn't matter. Mim is b'chitu k'chan alamas. You take him out of the Mizbech and it doesn't help. The Mizbech is not kolate. The din is that Ari Miklat are kolate for one who killed B'shoigig. Ari Miklat are not kolate for one who killed B'mezid. And the Mizbech is not kolate either for one who killed B'mezid. So that's the Pashab Shat. Ki yozidish are al harga b'yam. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in that Pashab. Ki yozid ish. Ish usually has the connotation ish prat l'kotten. To the exclusion of either ish prat l'isha or ish prat l'kotten. So the Gemara has a pun, a play on word, ki yozid ish, ish mezid emazriya, kotnein emezid emazriya. That a child before bar mitzvah cannot cook up in his body, shich vazera, that it should be roi lahazriya. Only a child after bar mitzvah is roi lahoylet. A child before bar mitzvah is not roi lahoylet. So that's why you usually require shtei saris. It's not enough. Yud gimel shana v'yamechad, we assume, after he reaches Yud Gimel Shana V'Yamechad, we assume he probably has mental maturity. But you have to have physical maturity also. He has to be Roy L'Hoylet. That's why the halacha requires shanim v'simanim. You have to have yud gimel shanim v'yamechad, and then you have to have also shtei saris and neiva ha'erva, and that's usually a similar davar that is roi l'hoilet. So the Gemara says that based on the same similar idea, kiyazid ish, that doesn't really fit in at all in the pasuk. The Gemara says kiyazid ish, ish meizin emazriya, kotnenem me'ena meizin emazriya. Again, the pasuk pshat kiyazid means if a person will plan in advance to kill someone. And the additional level of interpretation is if he'll cook up shechva zera in his body. Yeah, that's the plan.
Same idea, no?
Yeah. Then the Gemara has a famous agarta, a famous comment. Amar abchir barabba, amar abzimoy. There were three assistants, there were three members of Paro's cabinet who were consulted on the occasion when he was plotting to kill the Jewish people. And each one had a different reaction. And based on each one's reaction, that's how they fared later in life. So the three cabinet advisors were Bilam and Eov and Yisro. So Bilam, Sheyoad's Bilam, went along. He said, yeah, let's go kill all the Jewish people. Let's drown them. So he was Nerak. He was punished, Mida Kenegan Mida, because he wanted to drown all the Jewish boys. So he was punished. That at the end of the story says that Horga Bechorab, they killed him. Eov Sheshosag, Eov didn't know what to say. He was afraid. He thought that it's scandalous. You should kill the Jewish people. They're not guilty of anything. How can you kill innocent people? But he was afraid to speak up. So he just kept quiet. He didn't say anything. So because he deserves to be punished for that also, Sheshosag, he should have protested. So because he was Shosak, that's why Nidan B'Yisurim. He was punished later that he suffered a lot. The whole book of Eov. No, Gemara says, one opinion, Eov never existed, it's just a marshal. And one opinion is that he was a real person, so then when they discuss which generation did he live in. So some say that he lived in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Others say that the whole thing is a fairy tale that Moshe Rabbeinu composed. It's a novel written by Moshe Rabbeinu, Baruch HaKodesh. Yeah. That he was a real person. That he was a real person who lived at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Yet he was supposed to be a tzaddik, and this was an historian that was going through what the son was saying to him. Of course he's a tzaddik. All this astuteness that he had.
He's
not mashma that way. Here's mashma that he wasn't such a tzaddik.
He was a tzaddik in the sense he didn't feel that it's right that you should kill the Jewish people, but he didn't want to put his own life in danger. So he's afraid to say anything. So he didn't say. No, he's afraid to say anything. So he didn't say. So he was nidan bi yisurim.
Yeah. So, I mean, what he did, was it wrong? I mean, like, was he mechoyev to put his life in danger to save somebody else's life?
I don't think he's mechoyev to put his life in danger. So why was he punished with yisurim?
Right.
So the Velt says, the Pshat in the Gemara is that he should have at least given a krechts. Why should he give a krechts? Why should he give a krechts? He should have said to Paro, is that fair? He should have said something. it's not going to help. He knows that Paro is not going to listen anyway. So we know that when a person gets Yisurim, he's always krechtsing. The krechts doesn't help either. So the answer is, as to tudvei, git bena krechts. If it's painful, so everybody, that's an instinctive reaction. You give a krechts. So if it really bothered him that Paro was so mean, that he's going to kill all the Jewish baby boys, so he should have at least given a krechts. So the fact that he didn't give a krechts, that was the taina. That's how the Velt says. That's why it's midah keneged midah, nid meyisurim. Because when you get yisurim, then you give a krechts. So that was the taina that the Rabban Shlom had against him. Why didn't you give a krechts? And Mapara made the law against the Jewish people. True, you're not mechuyev to put your life in danger to save the Jewish people, but you should have given a krechts at least. To question whether it makes sense that Paro wants to kill him. And Yisro ran away. Okay, so Yisro Shebarach, he ran away. He didn't agree with Paro, and he ran away. He didn't want to be involved over here. So he was rewarded. Zochum ibn Ebon of his descendants, he was Zoche, his descendants converted, they became Jewish. Yosho Belishkas Hagozes. His descendants were members of the Sanhedrin, and they were Paskin and Shadish and Nemar. Pasuk says in Dirayamim, Umishpachai Seifrim, the Seifrim were the Rabbanim. Why they called Sofrim? The Gemara says in Kiddushin that they counted all the letters in the Sefer Torah. Yerushalmi says that they called Sofrim Shosu Kol HaTorah Kolo Sfura Sfurois. That when they were putting together all the dinim, they said Arba Avos Nezikin. They took Pashas Mishpatim and they gave a number. Arba Avos Abba Shomer Mein. And Yud Gilbim Dinim Nemro Menivla Saif Tahar. They added all the dinim together so that to make a whole system out of the halacha, to make it like this. You look in Chumash, everything is a mumbo jumbo, everything is all a jumble. It's a jungle over there. And the Sofrim also called Tarakula Sfuras. They gave numbers to the things, and they made a list that there's so many halachas. There are four avodas adam, shchita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika. So the dalet avodas adam. So when you give the numbers, everything becomes clearer. So the Sofrim are the big Tamir Chacham. Either they called Sofrim because they counted all the oases and the Sefer Torah, or the Sofrim also called Tarakula Sfuras. So these people who were members of the Sanhedrin, Yeshve Yavetz, who were they? They were Tritim, Shmaitim, Suchosim, different groups. Hema Hakinim Haboy Meyeretz Abi Beis Arechev. Hema Hakinim. Who are the Kainim? Uchsiv Mnei Kaini Chosem Moshe. Yisroel was called a Kaini. And it says that these people who are members of the Sanhedrin were Hema Hakinim. They were descendants from the Kaini. So the Gemara understands the Pasuk Divrei Hayamim as implying that several of the members of the Sanhedrin were descendants of Yisro. He was Zoche because he ran away. He didn't want to be involved in this whole judgment against the Jewish people for no good reason. So he ran away, so he was rewarded. Then the Gemara continues.
But at the same time, he didn't say anything at all in favor of the Jewish people. In other words, in fact, he ran away. That's a
mile. He knew he's not going to listen. He knew they're not going to listen. But he didn't want to just sit there and shake his head. Not mechuyev to put his life in danger. He didn't want to shake his head either, so he ran away. Yisro shook his head. What's his name? Not Yisro. Eov. Eov shook his head. So that's what he was punished by Yisur. But Yisro didn't want to agree, so he ran away. The pasuk is difficult. It says, "Hey, Amnei Sol Rabbi Yotzim Menu Havenes Chakmalo Pen Yirbe V'Hoyer Kisrek Kerenu Melchama." They'll wage war against us, against the Egyptians. What does that mean? It should say that they'll chase us out of, they'll take over the whole land of Egypt, and they'll kick us out of our own country. They'll push us out of our country. Why does it say be all of in hearts? And for the Gemara, people don't talk like that. I'm afraid that they're going to kick me out of my own country. So instead of saying I'm afraid they're going to kick me out, I would rather say I'm afraid they're going to kick themselves out of the country. Like we say, God is going to punish Soneim Shal Yisrael. We really mean God is going to punish the Jewish people, but we don't want to talk like that. So we say God is going to punish the enemies of the Jewish people. It's a euphemism. It means us. So when they said ve'olim in haaretz, it didn't mean that they're going to leave. It means ve'olim in haaretz, they're going to push us out of the land. They're going to wage war against us, and they're going to kick us out of our own country. So that's what the Gemara says. It's a loshen nekiyah. Omer Ababa Barkana, kodem shemekal asatzma v'tel kid losa b'chaver. What he really means is that they're going to push us out of our own country. They're going to expel us. But Parah didn't want to say that, so he said, and they'll leave the land. Then the pasuk continues, also difficult. Vayasimu alav sarei misim. What do you mean, vayasimu alav? It should be in the plural, vayasimu aleim. Again, unless you say, hene am b'nei Yisrael. Am is singular, so it goes on the Jewish nation. Like the previous pasuk, havenes chakmalo. So the Gemara said before, havenes chakmalo refers to Moshiach and Shal Yisrael. That the astrologers told Paro that there's a baby is going to be born these days. It's going to turn out to be Moshiach and Shal Yisrael. So that's why he said, let's drown all the Jewish baby boys. So we won't have him. But here, Vayasimu Olav Sarei Misim, he can't. So the simple pshat, Olav on the nation, on the Jewish nation in the singular. If you don't want to say the nation, so what are you going to say? It goes on Moshiach and Shal Yisrael. It doesn't fit in over here. Vayasimu Olav can't go on Moshiach and Shal Yisrael. He's just a baby, an infant. Vayasimu alav, v'egmo aleihem eboyle. And for the Gemara, Paro said, we should all work for the state. Let's get all the Jewish people to work for the state. And I too will work for the state. Everyone will work, the Jews and the Egyptians and even the king himself. And then we'll all we'll show the Jews that we're all working for the government, so they'll also work. And then the end of the story will be only the Jews will work. Paro will stop working and the Egyptians will stop working and the other ones will be left holding it big. Doing the work will be the Jewish people. So that's how it started. Paro also was doing work. They hung a big brick or whatever on Paro's neck to show that he's also fashklaft for the government. He's also working for the government and all the Egyptians working for the government. Any Jew said, I can't do that work. What, I should help build pyramids and so on. I'm a mefunak, I can't do that. Amrlo, so the Egyptian would say, Klum istinus ata yesimi paro? Well, you're more mefunak than paro. Paro himself is doing work. All the Egyptians are doing the work. So the Jews have to do the work also. So it started off, everybody is doing work, including paro. Then the end of the story was that only the Jews were left to do the work. Why is it referred to as Sarei Misim? Sarei Misim. Sarei Misim usually are tax collectors. But this is a tax collection. This is also a tax. This is not a tax of paying by check, paying an amount of money. This is a tax of labor. Perhaps that's the Poshup shot. Stomit is the Poshup shot. So the Gemara says, Sarei Misim, you interpreted is Dova Shemei Shim. Dova Shemei Shim. It's a samach, it's not a shim. But the Gemara is suggesting an interpretation that it leaves you shomein. The end of the project is going to be, the Jews are going to be devastated. Sarei misim is like a litvak, we pronounce sarei mishim. A samach, you pronounce it as if it's a shin. Dov Hashem eshim, it's going to devastate the Jewish people. Then the Gemara says again, leman anoso besiv loisom. Leman anoso in the singular. It should say, in order to torture them, besiv loisom. So here it's hard to say, anoso goes on the am. Am b'nei Yisrael. So what does it say, besiv loisom? Should say, leman anoso besiv loso. Why does it start off with singular and then it switches to plural? Frag the Gemara, anosam b'yale. It should be parallel to besiv loisom. And for the Gemara, leman anoso leparo besiv loisom de Yisrael. Because when they started off, that's how the Gemara said, when they started off, they hung a malbein, they hung something on the neck of Paro, to show that he's also working, and all the Egyptians, the whole cabinet, everybody from top to bottom, everybody's working for the government, for the goodwill of the country, for the government. So the Jews should also work along. And then the end of the story was that the only ones that were left doing the work after a couple of weeks were the Jewish people. So that's, but when it first started, they even enslaved Paro. Laman anoso, le Paro. They made Paro work, tough work, the first couple of days in order to get the Jews to suffer in the end. That was the gimmick. So the Paro besiv loisam de Yisrael. And what did they do? Vayiven or imiskinos lefar. What is vayiven? Should say vayivnu. So again, vayiven goes on the am. Am and Yisrael, vayiven. The Jewish nation built these ori miskinos lefar. Why are they called ori miskinos? What does it mean? Rav Shmuel had a dispute. Chad Amar. Shemisakna says Balehim. Miskinos is Meloshin Sakona. What's the Poshup Shat, Ori Miskinos? Storage houses. Storage cities with place to store a lot of food. So the Gemara gives additional levels of interpretation. So one says that Miskinos is Meloshin Sakana. Shemisakna says Balehim. That they were doing work in construction, you can get killed. You can get killed doing that work. How does Rashi say, Misakna says Balei? What? I don't know. Rashi interprets over here that they were ultimately, they were all drowned, and the Egyptian soldiers were drowned in Yamsuf as a punishment for making the Jews work. So it's called Ori Miskinos because the labor that the Jewish people did caused all the Egyptians to be besakana. So Rashi doesn't say that it's a sakana to build. Rashi says it was a sakana to the Egyptians, they were punished. Ultimately, they were punished for enslaving the Jewish people. I thought what it meant was that whenever you do construction, like today in America, construction workers sometimes get killed because there are accidents all the time. Yeah, that's another pshat. V'chad amar, machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. So one said, Ori miskenos miloshen sakana. V'chad amar, shemim maskenos es balehim. It causes you to lose your money. Yomamar, the Gemara had tradition, kolosik bebinyan mismaskein. People who go into real estate lose a lot of money. I don't know, is that so? Today, usually it's vaket. People in real estate make a lot of money. The Gemara says, one who is oisik in real estate and building, not that you buy houses and you sell them and you rent the property. Kolosik bebinyan, the people are in construction, mismaskein, they lose a lot of money. Rashi says, midaldalos, they lose a lot of money. So that's why it's called Ori Miskenos, because somehow the Gemara had a tradition that people in the construction business do not become rich. What were the names of the two cities, Pisum and Ramses? That's right. Those were names of the cities. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel had a machlekes. They think that Pisum and Ramses are the same city. Poshvet had two different cities. One is Pisum, one is Ramses. So Chad Amar, one of them says, the real name was Pisum Shmo. And Ramses is a nickname. Odova Nikra Shmo Ramses, Sherishan Rishan Misro Seis. What do you mean, Rishan Rishan Misro Seis? When they would be buildings, that they would climb on a ladder, they would drop a beam, they would drop a brick or something, so they would lose a lot. How does Rashi say? Rishan Rishan Misro Seis in the first white line of Rashi. Shabonim Ksasoy Misro Seis V'noifel V'chozim Abonim V'hu Nofel. It was like building on quicksand. They were building and they were dropping. They were building and they were dropping. There was a lot of waste. There was a lot of waste. It wasn't going well. So the name of the Gemara presents it as if it's the same city. Pisum and Ramses. If the Poshim Shat had two different cities. Aray Miskenos Lefara Pisum and Ramses. Two, plural. Aray. Two different cities. The Gemara says, one says Pisum was the real name. Ramses is either a nickname of the same city, nickname of a different city. That it wasn't a good location to build, and there was a lot of waste. A lot was lost. A lot of the raw material was lost. But Chadam, and the other one says just the reverse. The real name of the city was Ramses for whatever reason. And Pisum is a nickname. Olam and Dikishma Pisum, Sherishan Rishan, Pi Tahom Bolo. Pisum means Pi Tahom. They kept on dropping raw material to the ground, and somehow with some kind of quicksand or something. And they, again, the same shot as Ramses. That there was an awful lot of waste in the project of the construction. They lost a lot of raw material. Then the pasuk continued, "Kasher yanu oso," is Amrei Israel in the singular. When they were torturing the Jewish people, "Ken yirbeh v'chen yifrotz." It's a strange construction. "Kasher yanu oso," when they were, this is in past tense. "Kasher yanu oso," it's written in plural, but it means in past tense. Kain yirbe v'chein yifrotz, that doesn't read straight. It should say kain robe v'chein parts of miboyle. That should be in past tense. And as the Egyptians would torture the Jewish people, it should say kain robe v'chein paratzu. They kept on multiplying miboyle. And for the Gemara, Omer Eish Lakish, what the pasuk means to say is, kasher yanu also, as the Egyptians were torturing the Jews, the baskal came out from heaven and declared, roch ha-kodesh m'vasos and kain yirbe v'chein yifrotz. Like a baskal came out from heaven and said, Ken Yirbe. But not that the pasuk is just describing, if it's the description in past tense, it should really read, Ken Robo V'chein Parotsu. Then the pasuk continues that the Egyptians were very upset that the Jews were multiplying so much. The Midrashim said that there was Shisha Dikerasechet, Rashi quotes in Chumash, they were having so many babies. It was the only Shiv and Nefesh Yod Avasechlem and Tzraimah. And then they were only there 210 years, and they had Shishim Ribo. And the Shishim Ribo is only Hamushim Olam Reisol on the Eretz Mitzrayim. That was 1/5, the 1/50th, and 1/500th, three different versions in the Medrash. So there were so many Jews there. So they must have had babies every year. Must have had babies at a very young age, and every year they kept on having more and more babies. So many. Right. So the pasuk says there were so many Jews. Vayakutsu mipnei bnei Yisrael. How do you translate vayakutsu? And they were disgusted, like katzti b'chay. The Egyptians were disgusted that they had to deal with so many Jews. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation on the verb vayakutsu. There's miloshin kotz milama shohidomi b'neim kikotzim. They felt as if there were thorns stechting them in their eyes. How does Rashi say? Kilo the last line in Rashi. Kilo einayhem v'gufam aleim kotzim v'rosam esisol parim v'rovim. If you have a thorn stuck into your skin, So it's painful. So whenever the Egyptians would see so many Jews, so many Jewish children all over the place, so they felt as if it's annoying them, as if kotzim was sticking in their skin, kotzim was sticking in their eyes. They were pained by it.
Same thing today.
Yes. By Yavin Yisrael b'forech. The Egyptians made the Jewish people work b'forech. What does it mean b'forech? So the Gemara has a machlokes on the top line on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Rabbi Lozer, Amar Rabbi Lozer was the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. He says what it means is b'ferach. B'forech means soft talk. They said Paro is going to work, and all the cabinet members are going to work, and all the Egyptians are going to work. It's all for the government. It's all to improve the nation, the country, for the welfare of the whole country. So they might say anger at that they should all work. And then at the end, only the Jews were working. So b'forech means b'ferach. That's how the whole story began, b'ferach. The end of the day, it wasn't b'ferach, but it started b'ferach. That's how the Rashi says, m'shochem b'dvorim. They got them involved originally with a lot of talking. U'b'schar, and they said everyone's going to get salaried. First they started paying everyone. So it started off b'ferach. Rav Shmuel Bar Achmeni says, no, b'fricha. B'ferach means with hard labor that broke the body. Rashi says, b'shibran guf. It was very difficult work. Not b'farach doesn't mean b'farach. Means b'fricha. That's in that pasuk. But then the next pasuk says, v'ymoros chayem avoda kosher b'chayim avoveinu b'chal avoda basada iskal avodas hamasharav do'ahem b'farach. It says the Jews are ready, v'ymoros chayem, they're ready to collapse. B'chayim avoveinu b'chal avoda basada. So there, in the second pasuk, you can't say b'farach means b'farach. The story started b'ferach. Chavon Eschak Malo, they started with Parah. Everybody, it started with b'ferach. But the pasuk that says v'ymoros chayeim and the difficult labor, that the second pasuk, everybody agrees that b'ferach means avoda hamafareches hasaguf. And what was this avoda that was mafareches? So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Achmeni, Amar Rav Yonis, on the first white line, he has a tradition, shoy machlifim meleches anoshim lenoshim, they made the men do work that they were never used to do, and they made the women do. They made them switch. The men were asked to do work that usually the women do. The women were asked to do work that the men do. So each one found it very uncomfortable. Men and the women, everyone found it very uncomfortable to do the work. So the Gemara adds on, Laman d'yama nami hasan b'ferach, even according to the first opinion, Rabbi Lozer, who said, commenting on the first pasuk of the Mitzrayim is b'nei Yisrael b'ferach, that's in Shmos chapter Aleph. That word b'forach over there means b'ferach, but in this later pasuk that says it's called shabdahem b'forach, here everybody agrees. Mandam anami hasam b'ferach hachavade b'fricha. Here it means b'fricha, backbreaking work that it was very uncomfortable. And this Rav Shmuel Achmeni interprets that he has a tradition that they switched. They made the men do the women's work, women do the men's work. And that's nerve-wracking, to make you do work that you're not used to.
That's counterproductive. They want to build something that when they're building it, that goes against what they want them to
do. Slave labor is always counterproductive. They say that in Russia, because nobody get paid a decent salary, so they were always drinking, they were always taking long vacations, weekends, and everybody was always drunk. They never got anything done. If you have capitalist system, and if you work hard, you can make a lot of money, so that serves as an incentive to do work. Whenever you have slave mentalities, everything schleps on, because whatever you're going to accomplish is not going to go in your pocket. That's how the Mefarshim San Chumash, that when the Jewish people were freed, so the first mitzvah they were given was, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, I'm giving you time in your hands, now the time is meaningful. Because man, that they were slaves, the time didn't mean anything. The days and the weeks and the years just kept on rolling on, and whatever they accomplished was a waste. It wasn't in their pocket. And now that they're free people, so time is meaningful. Time was very valuable. So it was going to be counterproductive anyway. Yeah. Then the Gemara has a tradition that the Medrash says that when the Jewish people came to Yam Suf, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo made it Tanai Hisnak Kodesh Bocham, Maisa Bereshis, the Rebbeinu Shlomo made it Tanai, and Sheshis made Bereshis, when the Jews will come to Yam Suf, it should split. Because the Pasuk says, Vayoshav Hayom le'esono. After the Jewish people crossed over the Yam stopped. The Yam Suf was flowing, the water was flowing. And when Bnei Yisrael were going through Yam Suf, all the water kept on piling up higher, 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 until the Jews crossed over Yam Suf. And then Vayashav Hayam Le'esano. Then everything went back to its original strength. Esan means strength. That's the Pashup Shat. So the Medrash has a comment that the word Esan, Aleph Yud Tav Nun, is the same letter as Tanai. That what it means is Tanai Hisna Kodesh Bochu Imayam. When the Rebbe Shalom created Yam Suf originally, all the Nisim Geluyim that are supposed to occur in the future, that the Neris and the Beis Hamikdash burned for 8 nights instead of 1 night, there were only enough oil to burn. All the Nisim Gluyim were clauses that were built in the very outset. And Sheish Yismei, HaShibor Lekim La'asos, Echalakim Kol HaShos, and Menashvi, Kol Malachta HaShir. Also, the Rabban Shalom made all the Nisim that are going to happen in the future. He instituted all of these Tanoim. The Gemara says, the Osan of Bilam, Pi Ha'osayim. Pirkei Avos mentions some of the Nisim that are mentioned in Tanakh, right? And the Rambam there in the Pirush HaMishnah says it goes on all the Nisim. Every Nes Nigla, not that Rebbeinu Shlom is changing Teva now. When he created the world, Yesh Me'ayin, that was the big Nes Nigla. And any Nes Nigla that occurs in the future is really a Tanai, it's a clause in the fine print, and that initial Nes of the Sheshes Me'breshim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a Nes Nistar, he's pulling the strings behind the scenes, so that he's doing right now. An Ace Nigla is happening right now. How does an Ace Nista happen? So the Rambam explains in the Mora Nevuchim that because Bechira Chavshis is something that's not fixed, when people are born to have, everybody has Bechira Chavshis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu restricts, he limits the Bechira Chavshis. So because Bechira Chavshis is not Mukhrach, so that's where there's room for Hashgacha Pratis. Bechira Chavshis makes it possible to have Hashgacha Pratis. So the Rambam gives a moshel. Let's say the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to drown, he wants to punish a Rosh, he wants him to drown. But he wants to protect the Tzaddik that he shouldn't drown. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends the Bechira Chavshis of the man who works in the boat shop, manufacturing a boat, instead of tightening all the screws well, that the boat shouldn't sink, so he's lazy one day. He knows that if you don't tighten the screw, the boat is going to sink and someone can lose his life. So he's a Poshea. So why is he Pashea? The Rebbeinu Shalom suspends his Bechira Chavshis. The Rebbeinu Shalom wants someone to drown in the future. He wants to punish a Russian. So he causes the worker in the shipyard, when they manufacture the boats, that he shouldn't do a good job. And then when someone sinned, and Rebbeinu Shalom wants him to be punished, so he puts in his head, a Meshigah, so he should go on this cruise. But then there are Tzaddikim also scheduled to go on the cruise. So he suspends the Tzaddik's Bechira Chavshis, and he causes him to do a stupid thing. He goes out in the cold without a coat, in a cold day, and he catches a cold, and he calls him sick, and he can't go on the cruise. So the Rebbeinu Shalom suspended Bechira Chavshis 3 times over here. He suspended, this is the Rambam's Moshel in the Mor Nevuchim, he suspended the Bechira Chavshis of the one who manufactures the boat, that he shouldn't do a good job at screwing, tightening the screws. He suspended the Bechira Chavshis of the Rasha, that he should decide to go on this cruise because God wants to punish him, he should drown. And then he suspended the Bechira Chavshis of the Tzaddik to do a stupid thing to cancel his, because he did a foolish thing, he got a cold, so he has to call up sick, and he can't go on the cruise. So that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises his Hashgacha Pratis over mankind, because there's one area in the world where the things are not set, are not fixed. Everything in Teva is fixed. The apples grow on the tree, and everything grows naturally. Everything happens naturally, except for human activities, because people have Bechira Chavshis. So that's what the Rambam explains. Bechira Chavshis makes it possible to have Hashgacha Pratis, because Bechira Chavshis is free. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo restricts our Bechira Chavshis. I don't have Bechira Chavshis to shoot someone that doesn't deserve to die. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo restricts everybody's Bechira Chavshis. So sometimes he forces people. He puts a bug in my head, I shouldn't tighten the screw. Sometimes he puts a bug in my head, I should sign up for a trip. Sometimes he puts a bug in my head, I should not sign up. I really wanted to sign up for the trip. He puts a bug in my head, I should not sign up for the trip. Or I should do something foolish and catch a cold, and I'll have to back out from the trip.
Sounds like making Hashem like into a puppet master and just pulling the strings.
Right. Yeah. That's how the Rambam describes it. Yeah. So that's the pasuk says... After Kriyas Yamsuf was over, so the Medrash says the word Esan is the same Osius as Tanai, that this was an Eis Nigla, so all the Nisim Gluyim are really built into Teva. Any Eis Nigla that happens later, Pi Ha'aretz, by the time of Korach, that B'lui Korach got swallowed up in the ground, so Pi Ha'aretz was created in Sheshes Mebreshes, Pi Ha'osain, and everything was really created. So when you're talking about an Eis Nigla, you're really talking about the Eis Abrias Olam, and all the Nisim Gluyim that happened throughout all the generation, that was all clauses, that's all the fine print in the Bria. And an Eis Nister is happening right now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is suspending people's Bchira Chapshes and causing things to happen now. That's an Eis that's happening now. That's in some Hasidic Yisraim, they say, on a Yontif, when you're celebrating an Eis, let's say a Pesach, you celebrate the Nisim Gluyim of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Esamakis and Shavuos is Maimon Hasina, also Nisim Gluyim. And Sukkot is also Nisim Gluyim, so you make Kiddush over Revius of wine. But on Purim, when you're celebrating a Nes Nista, Rabban Shalom is doing today, under our noses, so then you have to drink Adal Yoda. That's a bigger Nes. That's a Nes that he's doing today. The Nisim Gluyim, those are old stories. Those are the Nisim from Sheshet's Mebreshet, that's from 6,000 years ago. But a Nes Nista is happening today, so that's why you have to have a bigger L'chaim for that.
How does Tzfasa so you fit into that list of books?
That's not part of the others. That's a different cheshem. Tzvas mitzvas asui is a different cheshem. So the Medrash has on that Tanai Hisna Kodesh Baruch Hu with the Yam that the Yam should split. So the Medrash says that when Bnei Yisrael came to the Yam and the Malachim said, okay, it's time to split. So the Yam said, I should split? I should let them go and drown the others. They're the same. Halalo Abdel Abedazar, Halalo Abdel Abedazar. Why should I let the Jewish people go through it? This was the Tanai from Sheshes Mebresh. It doesn't make sense. So Rabban Shlomo had explained to the Yam, you don't realize they worshipped, the Mitzrayim worshipped Avodah Zarah. They wanted to worship, the Jews didn't want to worship it, they was under pressure. So the Jews who worshipped Avodah Zarah, that was the men. And the women, the Gemara assumes that the women, that's the next Gemara. The women always have deeper roots in the past. The women are more attached to tradition. Women look to the past more. I must have mentioned, there's a Gemara in the end of Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Chava, originally, they were created du patzufin, and then they were separated. So when they were du patzufin, so there's a question in the Zohar, what does it mean du patzufin? Two bodies facing in opposite directions, or both facing in the same direction. So the Gemara seems to assume, Ocho, Baked, and Tzartana, they were facing opposite directions. There's one version in the Zohar, and then there's another Zohar that says not, so they're both facing the same direction. So the Gemara says they were facing opposite direction. One wants to know, so who was looking forward and who was looking backward? Adam Rishon was looking forward, and Chava backwards or Fakir. So the Gemara says Chava was looking backwards. So Rav Soloveitchik said that that's a basic difference between men and women. Women are more attached to the past. They remember every... My wife remembers everything that happened at my wedding. She remembers when each one of the nine babies was born, this one, this, and this, and this, and this one happened. I don't remember anything. The women always remember every little pitch of kin. They're always crying over spilt milk. They were talking, what would have been if it would have been if it would have been. But it wasn't. It wasn't. It didn't. Let's go forward already. No. They're always looking to the back. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that the women, let's say we have a meaning that the men wear a yarmulke. What do women wear? A yarmulke, it's a gemara in the end of Masechus Shabbos. We're not learning Shabbos. Okay. The one at the end of Masechus Shabbos tells that the stargazers told... I forgot about who, Rav Nachman it was. That they should put a yarmulke on him, and then that he should have Yerushalayim, and then when the wind was blowing one day and the yarmulke fell off, he went wild. He stole the fruits from someone else's tree. So we wear a yarmulke in order to instill in ourselves Yerushalayim. So why don't we have the women wear a yarmulke also? We assume the women don't need the yarmulke. The women are more attached by their very nature. Och v'kerem tzartani. Ocher is the women, and the women, and the men are kerem. The men are always looking forward. And the women are always more attached to tradition. So we assume... Yes? Yes. Under the yarmulke, they really go and blaze a cup. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara says, that the Meraglim also, the Mefarsh Machomish say, if they would have sent women, we wouldn't have had the story with the Meraglim. They would have said Shevach Oris, because they sent men. So the men are always looking for a new angle. The women would have held on to the tradition. God promised us, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Tov Rochava. Whatever God said, that's what we should go for. So that's what the Gemara says.
Very tempting.
The men were halalu abd avedizar v'halalu abd avedizar, and the women were not. By the eagle also, the women didn't want to worship the eagle. They didn't want to give their rings to worship the eagle. The men gave. And that's why when it came to the Mishkan, so the men gave. So the Medrash says, "Netvayim v'yegel l'nosim, netvayim l'mishkan v'nosim." When you ask the men for a donation, as long as it's tax deductible, so they make out a check. Doesn't matter, you make out to the church, you make out to the eagle, you make out to the Mishkan. Whatever's tax deductible is okay. The women had a chush. They said, no, they refused. They're not going to give money to the eagle. They're only going to give money to the Mishkan. So today was Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara has a minhag that Rosh Chodesh is a yanta for women. Was it Rosh Chodesh a yanta for women? So the Daz Gain in Bali Atos and Hachumish explained, every Rosh Chodesh is in commemoration of Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Today is Rosh Chodesh Nissan. It's the annual anniversary. Rosh Chodesh Nissan was the Shmini L'Miluim, the end of the Shivas Yimei Miluim, when the women were celebrating the fact that they understood where to give their charity. That the women only participated in donating to the Mishkan, and they did not participate in donating to the Yegel. So the women, I always celebrate Rosh Chodesh as a Yontif, not only once a year on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, every month they celebrate in commemoration of Rosh Chodesh Nissan, that they knew where to put their money. They knew to distinguish between a Mishkan and an Egel. That's how the Medrash has in many places, that the women are more traditional than the men. We assume that the women only have an obligation to learn Torah, L'maratamos, and Mishmartam, L'asos. Women have to learn the dinim that are relevant to them. And the men have an obligation to learn even Taras, and even we live in Chutzlars, even Zroim, even those parts of Halacha that are not relevant to us. So why do we need it for? So the answer is, by learning it will instill Yerushamayim in us. So the women don't need Yerushamayim, the women don't need Abbas Hashem. Women also need Abbas Hashem. It says in Kriya Shema, V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha, you should develop Abbas Hashem. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim in the Sifrei. And how do you do that? V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha. The next pasuk says, V'har Dvarim Elo Shanechem Tzav Chayom, Malav Avecho, through Liman HaTorah. That's how you instill Abbas Hashem. So the women also need Abbas Hashem. Why do you say the women only have to learn Talmud Torah as a Hechsher Mitzvah? They have to learn the laws of Kashrus and Taras HaMishpach and Shabbos in order to know how to keep mitzvahs. Why don't the women have to learn in order to have Abbas Hashem and Yiras Hashem? So that's what we assume traditionally, that the women are more traditional. They'll have Abbas Hashem, they'll have Yiras Hashem. They don't need the Yarmulke, they don't need the Talmud Torah. They're more traditional. The women were always more traditional than the men.
It's worthless to teach them that. So you are downgrading the women.
The Gemara says a father shouldn't teach his daughter Torah. It's not a smart idea. But if a woman grows older, she chooses to learn Torah, that's fine. The Gemara gives a reason why. Because when a boy starts to learn Gemara, so he becomes very sly and clever and chitre. So he's going to learn how to pull shtick. So the Gemara says that's a very bad thing for a girl. To pull shtick, she can do terrible things. A boy will do terrible things and will straighten them out. And if a girl does terrible things at a young age, it's terrible. But when the girl gets a little older and she decides to what she wants to do, they choose in high school, often the parents decide what courses the girl should take. In college, the parents don't have a say, so the girl does on her own. So that's what the Prisha writes on the bottom of the Torah in Yerideya. Kol melamed is bita Torah, kila melamed tiflis goes on the father. The father shouldn't send his daughter to a school where they have the same curriculum as the boys' school. But if the girl is already older, like Bruria, Eshes Reb Meir, she was married already, and she wants to study Torah, so Gzuntahe. So the Gemara says that Bruria stood outside of the Beis Medrash. They had no school for girls then. She stood outside the Beis Medrash, and every bachur came out. She asked him, what did you learn today? He said he learned 10 Mishnayos, and she said, teach me the Mishnayos. Every bachur came out, so she learned 400 Mishnayos. Every bachur told her another 10 Mishnayos, so she learned all the Mishnayos. So the Prisha writes on the bottom of the Torah that that's permissible. The Gemara thinks it's a bad idea that the father, Malamed is bita Torah when she's a young girl. It's not a smart thing because the Gemara says, Ormo, when a person, Kimishin Nichnasa Chachma, Nichnasa Ormo, when a boy starts to learn Gemara, Mishnah, then he starts to do Vilde Shtik. So that will be a disaster for a young girl that age. But a mature girl is nothing wrong. Yeah. So the Gemara tells what happened. What happened with the women? What did the women do in Mitzrayim? That Bishar Noshim Tzidkoines Nigal Avazenim Mitzrayim. So the Gemara has a tradition based on Psukim and Tehillim. Veshosha Olchus Lisha Mayim. When the women used to go to draw the water, the men were busy working all day long. Shibud Mitzrayim. The women were going to draw water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mazman Lahem Dogim Ktanim Bikadehem. When they were drawing water, somehow, they were little tiny fish. Okay. Vishavos, when they would draw the water, it turned out it was Machzamay Machzadogim. Half of the bucket was water, half of the bucket was fish. So they took the fish and they cooked them, and they took the water and they would heat it. And then they would coochie-coochie their husbands, and they would make love to their husbands. After a whole day of hard labor, the husbands were exhausted. They wanted to go to sleep already. So they would take the warm water, boz, the sops of shtekaderis. The women would put two pots on top of the fire. Sfisos agder means, the Rashi explains, lispos kaderis is a Talmudic expression which means to put a pot on top of the fire that it should cook. They would do achas sholcham and achas sholdogim. One pot had hot water that was cooking. That they were going to use that hot water to bathe. The husbands were working all day, and they were full of cement and putty and schmutz and filth and dirt and everything. So they would bathe them, the husbands, v'achas sholdogim, and they would cook the fish. Maluchas eitz baleim lasodeh, after the day's work in the field. So the women would come, u'machitza sosin, they would bathe the husbands, they would wash them off, clean them. They would give them delicious food, and then they would make love with their husband. The husbands want to go to sleep. They want to rest up already. Tomorrow is another day. They have to work all day. So their wives would make love with the husband. And then the pasuk continues. The pasuk says they got zov and kesef. The bezos mitzrayim is all as a reward for the women. Because the women would make love to the husbands, and they would encourage them that the Baruch Shalom is going to get us out of this. The husbands gave up already. And the women would always encourage Bishchar as a reward for the fact that the women would be making love with the husbands. The next pasuk says in that Perek and Tilim, the Jewish people is compared to the dove. So the pasuk says we were covered with silver, Babrasebi Rakrak Charutz, and we had gold and silver, Bezos Mitzrayim, in the schus of the women. And then the women would become pregnant and they would have babies, Kivish and Misabros, Boz Labateim, the women would go home. Kivish Megiz Man Moldeim, when the 9 months would be up, they'd be about to give birth to the baby. They would be afraid if they're going to give birth at home, so the Mitzrayim are going to kill the baby. So they would go to the field. There were no policemen in the field. Holchas v'yoldes masada tachas ha-tapuach. Shenem ha-tachas ha-tapuach ha-raticha. That's in Shir HaShir. The ha-raticha, the Gemara is interpreting Miloshen, the baby is misorer lotzeis. That's how Rashi says. Ha-raticha lotzeis mimei imech. The baby is going to be misorer lotzeis instead of in a hospital, instead of at home. Where is a baby born, either at home or in a hospital? So it's in the field, tachas ha-tapuach. Why tachas ha-tapuach? Because they were afraid the Egyptians are going to kill a baby. So they dafke had the baby there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalech mishmei moram mishem mankir u'mashpir oson kechaya zu, like a mialedes. A chaya is a midwife who cleans up the baby. Mankirusa in Aramaic means cleanliness. Like you wash the dishes and you keep pots clean. You don't leave schmutz all over. So when a baby is born, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would send from heaven. There was nobody there. Because Baruch Hu would send angels, and the Shechina would be there, and the babies, when they would be born, the Gemara is going to say the next line, they would have somehow a glimpse of the Shechina. So that later on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf, they said, Zekelim Anveyu, the babies recognize, oh, this is the Shechina that we experienced when we were first born. The Shechina came to help them, and they sent angels to clean them up, umashbaratzim, to make them good-looking, like a chayazu, like a midwife, Shemeshah Perisas Avlad, who makes the baby, takes care of everything. Sheneman Yecheskel, it's described when a baby is born, you have to cut the umbilical cord, then you have to straighten out the legs, and you have to shmek the baby, elect the baby, and wash it, and shmir on oil, and diaper it, and so on. So the pasuk describes the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of the Jewish people in the Midbar. Bayim Shana Bamidbar, the Jewish people was just born at the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was the beginning of Am Yisrael. So it's compared to a baby. There was nobody there to cut the umbilical cord, but my larachatz lemishli, nobody was there to wash the baby, a whole description. So the Shechina would see to it that when the babies were born in Mitzrayim, tachas ha-tapuach, he would send angels. He would be shalech, God would send mishmei moram from the heavens, he would send angels to take care of them. Umelaket lahem shnei igulim, echad shal shemen, v'echad shal dvash. There'd be a big container full of honey and a big container full of shemen, as it says, "Vayneker dvash misela the shemen michal mishtzur," to nourish the babies. And when the Mitzrayim would realize that they had the baby, because they were waiting 6 months, and then the woman disappeared, and then she comes back, she's no more pregnant. So they realized there's a baby hiding somewhere. So they went searching in the fields. So they realized the babies were hidden in the field somehow. When Aslam Nes, a miracle would occur, when of Loim Bekarka, the babies would be submerged under the ground. Like the Nazis buried people alive, so you get killed. If the buried baby alive gets killed, so a miracle happened. They didn't die. The Mitzrayim knew that they're hiding babies over here somewhere, so they would take animals to trample on the area and to plow up the area, just in case they're hiding any babies here. The baby should have been killed by simply being covered over with earth. And when you have cows trampling on top of the babies, for sure they're going to get killed. As the pasuk says, and after the Mitzrayim would leave, they thought that they already killed the babies, because the parents had put them under the earth, and the Mitzrayim brought the cows, and they would plow them up, and the miracle of miracles, the babies would pop up from under the ground. They weren't killed. They weren't killed with the earth, and they weren't killed with the plowing. The babies were popping up like grass pops up from the ground. And then the Kivishim is Godlam, and these babies grew up. They became children. They would, who know where the parents were, they would come home. There would be Shishim Ribo, so many babies. So the Poshib Shad Vatavoy Badi Adayim means that when a girl, when the body develops, so the Gemara interprets, Altikri Badi Adayim Ela Be'edri Adorim. It goes on the Jewish people, that the Jewish people had so many babies in Mitzrayim, Shisha Bekeres Echod, that it was like big flocks of sheep. So all the babies who were hiding on the fields, they would all come home to, they would know who their parents were. They would come home, Adorim, flocks of babies. Shenigla Kadosh Baruch Hu Alayam, when it was Gilu Shechina, Rosh Shivcha Alayam, and they all screamed at Zakelim and Veyu, Heim Hikiru Tchila, the babies were the first ones who recognized that this is a Gilu Shechina. How did they recognize? So Rashi says, because when they were born, there was a Gilu Shechina, and the Rabban Shalom sent angels to take care of them in the field, because they were all by themselves. So this is a whole tradition that the Gemara has. What happened in the Golus Mitzrayim? Then the Gemara comments on the instructions that Parah gave. There were two Mialdos or Ivrios. Hashem Shem Achas Shifra Hashem Hashem is Pua. Who were they? That was their real name, Shifra and Pua. The Gemara says, no, that's just a nickname. The real name was something else. Who were they really? So that's a dispute. Rav Shmuel had two traditions. Chadam Isho Bito. One says it was a mother and her daughter. Chadam no, Kala Bahamos. It was a mother-in-law and her daughter-in-law. Who is the mother or the mother-in-law, so that they all agree. Mandi Amisha Bito, they all agree that it's Yocheved. Yocheved was the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if it's Isha Bito, the mother and her daughter, then it's Yocheved and Miriam. If it's the mother-in-law and her daughter-in-law, it's Vaita Yocheved is the mother or the mother-in-law, and it's Elisheva was the wife of Aharon. So it's either Yocheved and her daughter Miriam, or it's Yocheved and her daughter-in-law, Elisheva. And Shifra and Pua are just the nicknames. What kind of a nickname? What does it mean? The Gemara will explain. So these two traditions, Rabbi Shmuel, what did they say in their earlier generations? So the Gemara says, Tani Kamadam Isha Bito. We have a brisa that says like the one opinion, the Tanya, Shifra Zu Yocheved, and Pua Zu Miriam. So this brisa says that it's the mother with the daughter, not the mother with the daughter-in-law. But the other one, the Rabbi Shmuel, they both were probably representing all the tradition. The Gemara just quotes one brisa that says like one, that it was Isha Bita, and what were the nicknames? Why was Shifra Pua? Why were these, the real names were Yocheved and Miriam, and the nicknames were Shifra. Valam Nikashma Shifra, what was the nickname? Shemeshaperes Esavlad. They would make the baby pretty whenever a baby is born and whenever a baby is growing. So you straighten out the legs and you smear on oil and you do everything to make the baby look pretty. Another interpretation, why did they give her the nickname Shifra? not Miloshin Shapir, good looking, pretty, but rather Miloshin Paravaravu. The Jewish people multiplied so much because of these Mialdas or Ivrios that they didn't listen to Bar, they didn't kill the babies. So they kept on having more and more and more babies, so many like Adorim Adorim, like flocks. And what is Pua Zumiriam? Why the nickname? Her real name was Miriam. And why they give her a nickname Pua? Lama Nikrishma Pua, Shahoisa Poa. What do you mean Poa? Poa means to talk. So what do you mean talk? So either Poa, the way it says in parentheses, or Poa Matzias Avlad. Somehow they thought that by talking she would enable the mother to give birth to the baby. Or maybe Poa means that she would talk to the baby. That's what Rashi says in Chumash. You coo the baby. You talk baby talk to a baby. So Poa es Havlad, she would talk to the little baby. The way it says in Gemara, Poa Matzias Havlad, somehow she would talk the mother into giving birth to the baby. Maybe they have, don't they have midwives who tell the mothers how, what to do, breathe and well, don't breathe and whatever. So that's according to that. Poa means talking. So she talked, the midwife would talk the Mialedes, the Yoledes into giving birth. Another suggestion, that she had some kind of nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, that Miriam, the daughter, told her parents that my mother is going to give birth to the baby who's going to save the Jewish people. The Gemara is going to talk about this later. Miriam was a Nevi'ah when she was a little baby, before Moshe Rabbeinu was even born. She was a Miriam HaNevi'ah before Moshe Rabbeinu was an Ali. So Parah gave instruction by Yoma, and he told the Shifra Puta, told the two women, B'yaletchan Sarivriyos, Arisim Alho Avnoim. What is the word Avnoim? He says when they're about to give birth, if it's a baby boy, see to it that you kill the baby. How are they going to know that the woman is about to give birth? How do they have Ruach HaKodesh to know? Just because she looks very big? You have women in the third month, they look gigantic. How do you know when, how do the Mialda Sarivriyos, how are they going to know? So the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Chana Simin Gadol Masalahem." He told them a medical simin. How can they tell when the woman is about to give birth that they have to do their job and kill a baby boy? Simin Gadol Masalahem. Amalahem. Parah told the women, "Shosha Karas Leled Yerechasem. It's Tananas Kavonim." Urisim Alhu Avnoyim. So the Gemara is interpreting that Parah told them a simin when the woman's legs get cold. That's a simin she's about to give birth. And when she's about to give birth, make sure you kill the baby. Yeah, but you only have to kill a baby if it's a baby boy, if it's a baby girl, not. So, and he told them they should kill the babies before they're born. So how are they going to know before the baby's born? How are they going to know whether it's going to be a baby boy, baby girl, whether they have Ruach HaKodesh? Gemara is going to say that he gave him a simon for that too. That's how the Gemara is going to say, yeah. So first the Gemara says, Arisim Alho Avnoyim, the similar dove to know that the woman is about to go into labor is when her legs become cold. How are they going to know the woman's legs are cold? I guess they're taking care of them. They're taking care of them. So when you see the legs are getting cold, below normal body temperature, that's the simon she's about to give birth. Is the Am, another version has it. What does it mean? Risa malho avnoyim. Kidichsiv in Yirmiyav erid beis hayoitzer, where they're manufacturing pottery. V'inehu oisem alocha alho avonim. So what does it mean over there, Ahlavonim? My yurt is there. Yerech Mikam is said in the Emtza, when they manufacture pottery, pots and pans, Afisha, Yerech Mikam, Vavlad Biemtza. The Gemara is coming on them, Arisim Alho Avnoim. What does that mean? So first, the Gemara said, when the woman's legs will be cold like stones, Avonim, so then it's a simon she's about to give birth. The other interpretation was no. Alo Avonim, Alo Avnoim is like a Beis HaYotzer, that you have the two legs on either side and the baby is going to come out in the middle. He wasn't telling them a simon when to know.
They were experienced midwives. They need a simon from Paro.
I guess he had medical research. He was paying for medical research. The government was paying doctors to do medical research. He was telling them the latest discovery. I don't know. That's what it sounds like. Then he tells them, Ben Hu Bahamiteno So. They should kill a boy before it's born. How do they have the Ruach HaKodesh to know it's going to be a boy? So the Gemara says, Amram Chanina Simigod Masalam, how do you know if it's a boy or a girl? If it's a bain, part of Lamato. If it's a baby boy, it's going to be always be born with the head facing down. If it's a bas panel, Lamaila. What's that? Why should it be? Why? Why should it be so? The Rashi quotes a Gemara in Nida, Daf Lamed Aleph, that the normal, traditional, classical way to do tashmish is that the woman is lying flat on her back and the husband is facing down, the woman is facing up. So the baby is born in such a position. So if it's a baby boy, that's how the Gemara says, the baby boy is going to be born facing down. So when the baby is about to be born, you can tell whether the head is coming out. Head usually comes out first. So you can tell whether the head is coming out up or down. So before it'll be Yotze Rosh HaVerubo, so if it's a baby boy, if it's facing down, be Yodu, it's a baby boy. So make sure you kill a baby before he's born.
How did you kill it? I thought he didn't want to do a Mayim. Where's the Mayim now?
That was later. To throw in the water was later. The first plan was, I was going to explain, there were three stages in the Gzeira. So the first stage, Mitan also, you should kill a baby boy. Why, that's what the Marsha, there's a famous Marsha here. He says, why did he pick Mialdas Ivrios? Where's Yosecha? Pick Mitzrios. The Jewish Mialdas is not going to want to kill Jewish babies. So he says, no, Ben Noach is Neragal Ubrin. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Shafech Dam Ha'odam Ba'odam. Dam Ha'yushafech. If Ben Noach kills a fetus, before it's born, he's Chayiv Misa, the same as killing an adult. But a Jew who kills a fetus is not Chayiv Misa. There's a din of the Mevelodas. That you have to pay the mevel orders. It mustn't yeah. If the ki notzah anoshim enok fui hishahara says the mishpatim. The yotzu yeladeh. So shalom shalom kashiyasa halabal ho hisha venasim eflinim. You have to pay the mevel orders. It mustn't yeah. If the woman got killed accidentally, then it's come lebi dirabini. So let it always become lebi dirabini. The fetus was killed. So you see that killing a fetus there's no chiyav misa. By ben noach he killed a fetus there is a chiyav misa. So he's not going to succeed in getting any mitzriyos to kill. He wanted them to kill a fetus before it's born. What, he's going to convince someone to kill a fetus after a baby after it's born? That's outright murder. They'll put him in jail. They'll kill all of them. So he wanted to convince the Jewish, the Alda Sarivius, they should kill the Uber before it's born. I kill it before it's born, before Yotzah. How do they go to know if it's a boy or a girl? So that's what the Gemara says. He gave him a simon before Yotzah, Rov HaRosh, Yotzah Padachto, when the head usually starts coming out from over here. Where the hair starts developing over here. So when Yotza Rov HaRosh, when the Rov HaPadachas comes out, so then it's a Bedi Yolud. So then it's too late. Then even the Jewish woman can't kill. So he said, kill the fetus if it's a boy. You can tell if it's a boy if it's facing down. Kill the fetus before it's going to be Yotza Rov Roshel. That's the Marsha says, that he had to have Dafke Mialdas Ivrius, he couldn't have Mialdas Mitzrius. So that was the Simon. Then the Pasuk says, Vatiren HaMialdas HaSvelikim, they had Yir HaShemayim, V'lo Yosef Kashadiba Alehem Melech Mitzrayim. They didn't listen to him. Why does it say V'lo Yosef Kashadiba Alehem? You should say Kashadiba Lehen. Alehem sounds like he spoke about them. Kashadiba Alehem. Kashadiba Lehem. They didn't listen to the instruction that Parah gave them. So the Gemara has, why does it say Kashadiba Alehem Melech Mitzrayim? Vat Chayenes Hayadim. It should say Vat Kashadiba Lehen? The boy lay. And for the Gemara, Malam should top in the Devar Hevel on the Dvo. The Gemara has a strange tradition. Rashi says there's a pasuk in Bereshis Choftes where the pasuk is speaking about Tashmish, a man and a woman. So the verb that appears in the Chumash is Vayova Eileho. So the Gemara has a tradition here is Kashadiber Alehen has the connotation that he wanted to kill the Jewish people and then he wanted to have a little fun on the side also. These were good looking women, Yocheved and Miriam, so he wanted to have an affair with them. As Mustam, a lot of wives, a lot of Pilakshim, so he wanted, these were good-looking Jewish girls. So that he was Tavir them, Dvar Aver means Gili Avar, he's Nus, V'lo Nitvo. They didn't listen. So that's why instead of saying Kashadiba Lohen, the Pasuk writes Kashadiba Lohen has this additional connotation. So the Pasuk says they didn't listen to the instructions that Parah gave them. Vatchayeno es hayoladim. What do you mean, Vatchayeno? It should say, but they didn't kill a baby. But the babies were born. The Mela they lived. What's Vatchayena? So the Gemara says, Tana, the Brisa explains what it means. Lo Dayan, not only Shalohim Isoais, and not only did they not kill the Jewish boys, they were helping the baby, deliver the baby and let it die. No. They were helping the baby and hiding out the baby and seeing to it that it would grow. They had adorim, adorim. They had herds of babies. That's why it says, "Vatchayenas hayoladim." They saw to it that they should continue to live. And then they were, so Paro said, Madua, why do you let the babies live? I gave you instructions, you have to kill all the baby boys. But Tamarna ham the eldest al parki, look, Hanashim, Hivirus, Hivirus. The Mitzvahs are not like the Hivirus. Kichoyas Haina. What do you mean, Kichoyas Haina? So Pasha Pshat, that they are all midwives. All the Jewish women are midwives. So the Gemara says, so therefore, a midwife needs another midwife to help her give birth. What does it help if a Jewish woman is a midwife? But she still needs assistance when she's about to give birth. She needs someone else to help. So she's going to call on you. She's going to call on Yocheved and Miriam. So you should, what do you mean? They're midwives, therefore they don't need a midwife to help them give birth. And they gave birth without us. Baba Maisa. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, my choyes? What does it mean, choyes? E lema. Choyes mamish, if they meant to say, ki choyes eina. They are all midwives. Otu chay milo tzvicha chay achrita la luda. A woman who's a midwife needs another woman to help her out when she's about to give birth. So she's calling upon you. Shifram puatap, so why don't you kill a baby boy? Ela omrlo, no, the Gemara says, Miriam and Yocheved told Paro, omrlo, umazu kechaya nimshalo. The Jewish people are like wild animals. Doesn't mean kechayas heina that they're like midwives. It means that they're like wild animals don't need a midwife. The animal gives birth to a baby, doesn't need any doctor, doesn't need a hospital, doesn't need anything. Where were the Jewish people compared to wild animals? Yehuda compared to Gur Aryeh Yehuda, to a lion. And Don is compared to a snake. He don nochash al ederch. Naphtali is compared to Ayala Shlucha, to a gazelle. Yisachar chamor gram like a donkey. And Yosef is bechor shor. Midyamin is Zev Yitrov, a wolf. So yeah. So some of the shvatim are compared to wild animals, but not all. So how come all the Jewish babies? What is it? Kichoyzen? They're all wild animals. Only five or six. Yehuda and Don and Naphtali and Yisachar and Yosef and Midyamin six. And what about the other six shvatim? They're not compared to Chayes. So the Gemara says, "Dichsiv beksiv be." Those six shvatim that it says they're compared to these six animals. So they're compared to animals. They don't need any midwives. So they don't call us. They don't call us to help them. And the loksiv be, the other six shvatim, where they're not compared to any animals, but the whole Jewish people is compared to animals. You don't need that these six shvatim are compared. The loksiv be, those who doesn't, they're not compared to animals. Ksiv, the pasuk says in Yecheskel, the Jewish people is compared to a lioness. So they were all compared to animals. So that's what they were telling Paro, a story, that none of the Jewish women need any midwives. They don't need our services. They give birth to the babies without us. And after the baby is born, you don't expect us to kill him. You told us to kill him in the state of a fetus. That's why he asked the Mialdos or Ivrios. He didn't ask the Mitzvios, because by them it's the same whether they kill a fetus or they kill the child after it's born. So they say the babies were born already. By the time we come, all the babies were born. Then the pasuk continues. Sounds like it. Then the pasuk continues, Vayhi kiyor hamialdes esu elokim, because Shifra Pua had yiras shamayim, so they were rewarded, Vayas lehem batim, HaKadosh Baruch made for them batim. So the simple translation is, they had a home where they could hide, so Paro wouldn't find them. They were hiding in some batim,
a safe place,
where Paro wouldn't get after, where the police wouldn't be able to catch up with them. What does it mean, batim? That was the reward, that they were protected. Where could it be a home where Paro is not going to find them? So the Gemara says, it does mean that. They were rewarded in history. They were given a reward. Rabbi Shmuel have a machlokes, what was the reward? Chadam abati kuhuno leviya. Who is that? Yocheved gave birth to Moshe and Aaron. So Moshe Rabbeinu was Meshameh Shivas Mei HaMiluim, and that Aaron Ubanav were the Kohanim for the rest of the history of the Jewish people. That's Bati Kuna Levi, Aaron and Moshe. Umam the Yama Bati Malchus, and the other one, Rabbi Shmuel Hanamachlech, the other one says, their reward was that they were given Yichus. The reward was they were given a Gevaldig Yichus. Either Yichus of Kuhuna Leviya or the Yichus of Malchus Beis David. Where do you see Malchus Beis David came from? Shevet Levi? Malchus Beis David from Shevet Yehuda. So it's the wrong Shevet. So the Gemara says, no. Mandiyama Bati Malchus. Why? David Nami Miriam Kasi. David was a descendant of Miriam. David was from Shevet Yehuda from the father's side, but he was also a descendant of Miriam. How do you know? So the Gemara is going to start a whole long agarta now. It's going to go on and on and on. Dechsiba, Thomas Azuva, Eishes Kolev, Kolev Ben Yefuna, lost his wife, and he married a different wife. And you can call her Kolev, Es Efrat. So the Gemara is going to have a whole agarta. No. Kolev Ben Yefuna, his wife was Miriam, and she took sick and she had tzaras. And Metzoris Choshev Kemeis. And it says, but Thomas Azuva, and she's called Azuva because she was so ugly, no one wanted to marry her. And he was a very good-looking guy. The Masukol Ben Yefuna was very charming and very good-looking, and he married this girl, L'shem Shamayim. Such a good-looking guy, could have had the most beautiful girl. So he married this girl because of Bayichas, Moshe Rabbeinu's sister, Miriam. So he married her, and after she had the tzara, she got cured. Bayichas Chalkolavis Ephrata is the same wife. Ephrata is the same Miriam. Batedet lo yeschur. And this Ephrat was an ancestress of David. As the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, what does it say? V'David ben ish Ephrati v'goyim. David HaMelech was a descendant of Ephrat, which was the nickname of Miriam after she was cured from the Negat Saras. They quote in the name of the Biskei Rav, where is there a Mida connected Mida over here? Rav Shmon Botan Torah v'yas lahem batim. Because they didn't kill the baby boys, that's why they were rewarded, that they were given big yichas. Either they were the heads, they were the ancestors of the Kuhuna Leviya, they were the ancestors of the Malchus Beis David, which is big stuff, big yichas. What's the Mida Keneged Mida? So they say that Paro wanted to kill all the Jewish baby boys. The girls he wasn't going to kill. Not going to kill the Jewish girls. So the Jewish girls are going to marry Mitzriim, and they're going to have Jewish babies. When you have an intermarriage, and the mother is Jewish, and the father's a goy, so the children will be Jewish. So the Jewish people would not have disappeared, but they wouldn't have any yichas. The father's a goy, the mother's Jewish, and the child is Jewish, but the shevet, l'mishpachosim l'beis avaisam, mishpachas avkrim, mishpacha, mishpachas emenikrim, mishpacha. So they wouldn't belong to any shevet. It's like they would all be like gerim. The mother's Jewish, the child is Jewish, but they're lacking yichas. And because they spared the yichas, they saved the yichas of Klal Yisrael. If they would have killed all the boys, there would have only been girls, the Jewish people would survive. But we wouldn't have had any yichas. So their reward was Mida Keneged Mida, that they were given yichas, either yichas of Kuna Leviya or yichas that they were head of the Malchus Beis David.
Everything you say about Miriam applies to Yocheved also.
Okay, right. Same family, right. So then the Gemara goes on with the Psukim. The Gemara says, I think in Psochim, that the Gemara says, one of the Amoraim who lived in Babel sent up his 30 camels loaded down with Ksovim of commentaries on Dira Yamim. Dira Yamim just gives names. Adam Sheis, Enosh, Kena Mahalala, Yera just gives this generation, next one, just gives the names one generation after the other. So the Gemara has tons and tons more drushes on Dibra Yom than any other Sefer and Tanakh. The Gemara says that one of the Amoraim lived in Babel, I forgot everybody, who sent camels full of, loaded down with notes, with written, ksavim, interpretations on Dibra Yom. So the Gemara is going to give over here. They quote a pasuk in Dibra Yom, his first wife died, he married a second wife. The Gemara says, not the first wife, doesn't mean she died, it's the same wife. She had a... And this is a nickname. Azuva is a nickname. Her real name was Miriam Azuva because no one wanted to marry her. She was ugly. And then her name is Ephrat later because Paravarava. And all the psukim that it says she had children doesn't mean she had children. The Gemara is going to reinterpret all the psukim of Dibra Yomim. Much more so than the way we give additional levels of interpretation in psukim and chumash. I don't know. The Gemara in the beginning of the second parak in Avodah Zarah says that when the Nachash was Boal Chava, none of this is in Chumash. Chumash says the Nachash got Chava to eat from the Eis Hadas. So the Gemara has a whole tradition that the Nachash wanted to bump off Adam Rishon and he wanted to marry Chava. So the Gemara has a tradition the Nachash was Boal Chava. He actually was Boal Chava. So the Gemara says, Hitel Bazuhamo. Somehow there was a psul that that was chal in all of mankind. So the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai, Paska Zuhamasim. And the Nochrim didn't experience Maimon Har Sinai, was like Paska Zuhamasim. So the Gemara says, that's why the Nochrim would prefer to live, to sleep with a Jewish girl rather than a non-Jewish girl, because the Jewish girls are Paska Zuhamasim. Even if they're not so good looking, because somehow the Nochrim can tell. They usually say fakert that... the Koyish girls want to marry a Jewish boy because they know that a Jewish boy is going to treat them very nicely. But over here, the Gemara says that the non-Jewish men would prefer to marry Dafka, a Jewish girl, because the Jewish girls are Poska Zoamos. I don't know.
Esther also, the Gemara says,
was not good looking. The Gemara says Esther was awful, Yirak Raka, so she was not good looking at all. It says, Vatisa Chain, she was nice Chain. Chain means it doesn't correspond to reality. She was not good looking. And Achashverosh fell in love with her, even though she was not good looking. Yeah. So now the Gemara is going to have this whole Agarta about Kole Ben Yefuna, who he was, and so on and so forth. It was the brother-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. This week's Sedra, we have the continuation of the Dinim Parshas. Mitzvah, we have the continuation of the Dinim of Tzaras. So the Din is all Ayoras HaMakofis Chaimim and Moshe Yeshua Ben Nun, all the cities in Eretz Yisrael that had walls around them. When Yeshua Ben Nun was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, so those cities have a higher level of Kedusha, and a Mitzvah is not permitted to enter any of those cities. So the Pasuk says also, when you have Tzaras Batim, so sometimes you have to take out those stones that have the tzaras. And hotzias havana michutz lo ir. So it doesn't say which ear. By the mitzora it says v'shalchem ben amachne in parshas nos. It says v'shalchem ben amachne kol tzuro v'chol zav v'chotomi lo. It says three times machne lo yavel tach amachne. So it says three times the word machne, and it says three tmeim kol tzuro v'chol zav v'chotomi lo nafish. So the Gemara says tomi lo nafish is the easiest level of tuma. So he's not allowed to enter the Azora. But Harabais, he's allowed to enter. Tmei Mesim are allowed to enter Harabais Menatur. The Rabbanon, there's a point after which you're not allowed to enter. Azav is not allowed to enter the whole Harabais. And a Metzora is not allowed to enter the whole Yerushalayim. So that's why it says in Parshas Nosai, that's why it says the word Machne three times, and it has the three Tmei mentioned, Vishalchemar Machne, called Tzorua, Vichalzov, Vichatomi, Lonofish. Each one has a different Machne that he's not allowed to enter. So all Ayaros HaMakavus Chom, Moshe Yishuv Ben Nun have the status of Machne, so the Mitzorayim are not allowed to enter any of them. And today's Sedra, it doesn't say Michutz LaMachne, it says the Evan HaMenuga from the Bais, V'hotzi al Michutz Lo'ir. What does it mean Michutz Lo'ir? So the Rasha, Mishnais Negoim, quotes at Tosefta, any city in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's not Mukav Chom, Moshe Yishuv Ben Nun. All the cities in Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha than the farms. One would have thought fakert, that the farmers don't have all the prostitution that goes on in the cities and the corruption and the business and the murders and everything. You would think that the farmers would be on a higher level of Kedusha than the cities. But the cities have all the corruption. So the halacha says the reverse, that the cities in Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha ben Egeir to the Eben HaMenuga. So how come it doesn't say so? There's a Mishnah in Perek Aleph in Kalim, with the Mishnah lists off in the Hasidish Sidurim, they have Nusach Sfarad Siddur, they have it on Friday night to restart certain kapitla, certain prokim of Mishnayas. So they have this Perak and Mishnayas, Perak Alf and Kelim, Esa Kedusha saying then 10 levels in Kedusha Eretzel. So it says, Eretzel Mikedusha is Bikol HaRotzes, Shemivim Menahoymer Shteh Lechem. Then Ayoros HaMakofas Chom, Moshe Yishuv Ben Nun have a higher level of the rest of, higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, Shemishtalchem Mehem the Mitzorayim. Then Yerushalayim has a higher level than all the other Ayaros HaMakavos Chaim. You can eat Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim. Harabais has a higher level than Lefanim Harabais. You have levels Medirabbanon. And Atar, the whole Harabais is one status. Medirabbanon, Ezra Snosham, has a higher status than the rest of Harabais. Then you have the Azara, then you have higher levels. Then you have the Hechel, then you have the Kodesh HaKadosh, and they have Bein Abadim. So the Mishnah lists off Esek Kedushas. You add it up, there are 11. So that's what Dolam Mefarsh Ma'abada with the Kash. Why do you say Esek Kedushas? It lists off 11 levels. So if it's already listing 10 or 11, why doesn't it have 12? It should say all Ayaris in Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha than the forms, and Ayaris HaMakav Eschema have a higher level than Ayaris. The Tosefta quoted by the Rash says that when you have to take an Evan HaMenuga, Chutz Lir, it's not only Chutz Lir, HaMakav Eschema, Moshe Yishuv Ben Nun, any city in Eretz Yisrael, that's a question. How do you determine? Let's say a person has his own mansion and he builds a wall around his own mansion that has this din of that has a din of the ir hamukav chayma. Let's say the wall was there from the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. That's called the ir hamukav chayma Yishuv Ben Nun. One man with his whole family, that's not an ir. An ir, you have to have certain criteria to be determined as an ir. So you have Mishnayis, the Mishnah in Erechen, the Mishnah in Erin says, we learned it. It says you have to have a minimum of three chatzeres.
You have to
You have to have a minimum of three chatzeres that have to be near each other. You have a chatzer in New York and a chatzer in Minneapolis and a chatzer in Los Angeles. Does make the whole United States into one big ear. The Gimel chatzeres have to be in close proximity to each other. So the Gemara never explains how close. The Taisus works on that, how close. They don't have to be contiguous. They have to be within Shiva Mama and Shirayim to each other. Then the Gemara Sanhedrin says you have to have a minimum population. And the population of 100, minimum population of 100, then they have to otherwise not call it here. Then what do you mean? Let's say you have motels there. It's an airport, you have motels. There are 500 people always there, but no one lives there for more than 2 days. Everyone just comes and goes. So that's no good. So the Mishnah Berurah discusses how long do the 100 people, how long does the minimum population of 100 people have to live there? 1 year, 30 days, half a year, how long is Hashan? So that's a question of definition. So you have an ear, then you have an ear hamakefes cham. So the Shah, how come in the Mishnah in Kalim that lists off the Esek Kedusha, why doesn't it mention all Ayarish of Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha? Then Ayarish hamakefes cham have an even a higher level than that. So Rabbi Menachem Zemba was a businessman in Europe. He was killed by the Nazis after the whole Warsaw Ghetto was all over, so they killed him at the end. So he was a great Goyin HaGoyinim. He wrote some of his Sforim. He was a businessman, and there was a period of time, and in that time, the 20s, the 30s, they had Goyinim Adirim, who were in business, and they wrote Sforim. So one of his Chaverim, one of the Chaverim of Rabbi Nachum Zemba was putting out his commentary. It's called Ambua de Sifrei, his commentary on the Sifrei Zuta. Sifrei Zuta is the Sifrei that's not written in the Hebrew, like our Sifrei, Stam Sifrei Reb Shimon, Valiba de Reb Akiva. And the Sifrei Zuta is Aliba de Reb Shmuel. It's a different style of Hebrew. It's more Aramaic, and it's a different Shita. It's not Reb Akiva Shita, it's Reb Shmuel Shita. Rashi and the Rashi and the Rambam quote a lot from this Sifrei Zuta. So he put out a new edition. There were previous editions. Put out a new edition with his Marmikaimus on the bottom of the page. Marmikaimus to Yerushalmis and Orsameachs and Gemaris and Rishonim and Achrenim Avnei Nezer is all over. So he asked this. He sent the whole all the galleys to Rabbi Menachem Zemba. He asked him, "Would you like to add something?" So he just shook out from his sleeve a 100-page essay about Esek Kedushas. That's the first brisa. And the Sifrei Zuta talks about Vishalch Men Amachna, called Tzor Shiloch Tmei Men Amachna, and he writes about the discrepancies between the way Esek Kedushas appear in the Mishnayos and Perek Aleph and Kalim, and the way it appears in the Sifrei Zuta. There are a few slight discrepancies. He has around a 100-page essay just about the Esek Kedushas. So there's one piece in the essay that Rav Soloveitchik used to say. Rav Soloveitchik didn't, I'm sure he never saw it there. He would have said it in Rabbi Menachem Zemba. He said on his own like that. The Esek Kedushos are listing off 10 degrees in Kedushos HaMikdosh. That's why the Mishnah says, estranged in Eretzel Mekodeshes, Mikol HaRotzois, Shemivim Emenu HaOymer Eshtei Alechem. The Oymer comes from barley that grew in Eretz Yisrael. The Eshtei Alechem comes from wheat that grew in Eretz Yisrael. All other menachas, doesn't matter where the barley or the wheat grew. Can grow in Jordan, can grow in America. You bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring a Korban Mincha. Why does the Omer Shtei Alechem have to grow Dafka in Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is the Mishnah should have said Eretz HaMikdash is Mikol HaRotzos, that Eretz Yisrael is Chayv and Trumas and Maris and Shmita the Yevalek and Shikha Peya. There's so many mitzvahs HaTliz Maris. What does it pick on such a strange din that most people never heard of? That the Omer Shtei Alechem, the barley for the Omer and the wheat for the Shtei Alechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. What kind of strange din is that? So Rabbi Menachem Zemba explains, the Mishnah means to tell you that there are 10 levels of Kedusha HaMikdash. Mishnah does not tell me Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to Chutz Lartz doesn't have Kedusha. No, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha that we know. That's for the mitzvahs HaTliyaz Bor. It's all the agricultural mitzvahs. Trumas HaMaisa, Shemitah V'yavah, Lech Hashik Chapeh. The Mishnah doesn't mention that. That's a different word. The Mishnah is saying, all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha based on Migdash. And there are 10 levels in Kedusha based on Migdash. So the 10 levels, the cities in Eretz Yisrael don't play a role. Ayoras HaMakaf Eschayim have a lower level of Kedushas based on Migdash. All of Yerushalayim has a lower level of Kedushas based on Migdash. The essence of the Kedushas based on Migdash is the Kodesh HaKadoshim Bein Abadim. Then you go further out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Hechel has Kedusha, Bein Hulam LaMizbeach has Kedusha, the Azorah, the Ezras Noshim has Kedusha, the Harabais. As you go further out, so the Kedushas based on Migdash gets lower, 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 till all Ayaras HaMakav Eschayim have a me'ein kedushas beis hamikdash, a lower level, and all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of kedushas beis hamikdash. How can you demonstrate that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of kedushas beis hamikdash? Because the omer shtei alechem has to have grown in the beis hamikdash. What do you mean in the beis hamikdash? You don't plant anything. The answer is it has to grow in Eretz Yisrael. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of kedushas beis hamikdash. But the Mishnah there can't stick in all ayaros of Eretz Yisrael. All ayaros of Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of kedushas haoretz. But it's not that it's a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. That Mishnah is only listing off 10, 11 degrees levels of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. But this is true. The Rash quotes the Tosefta that Evan Hamanuga is not allowed to be, not allowed to remain in any city in Eretz Yisrael, because all cities in Eretz Yisrael have a slightly higher level of Kedushas HaOretz. But it has nothing to do with Kedushas HaMikdash. So different than, that's why it's not mentioned in that Mishnah.
A sibbe why the women don't not allowed to learn Torah.
Thank you.
Because she is nida or other things a woman should not is not nikiya.
There was a minig that the women wouldn't kiss a sefer Torah, they wouldn't look at a sefer Torah when they were a nida. Rashi's Talmidim had such a minig. But Yashikoyach. It's an authentic tzedakah. The guy's in Eretz Yisrael. The one who wrote the letter forgot to mention. There'll be in America, the government is taking care of them.